Hello, everyone. Hopefully you're having and or had a wonderful day today. If you're new here, welcome. My name is Drew Joyner. And if you're a returning listener, welcome back. I appreciate you guys so much for all the love that the podcast gets. Last week, it was kind of a resurgence episode in the form of the fact that I hadn't recorded an episode in the last couple of weeks, and we're trying to get back into the flow of things. I'll kind of talk about that a bit later on in the podcast as well. But for all of you who reached out via DM and actually said, yo, Drew, like, we love the pod. We're big supporters, big fans of the pod. Keep it up. We missed it when it was gone. Thank you. That means so much to me. You have no idea. You have no idea. But today we're going to be talking about, like, the main focus of this episode is going to be talking about, sometimes I mumble. I don't know why I do that. Let me re-say that. The main focus of this episode and what we're going to be talking about is five unpopular fashion opinions. Unpopular being kind of like the clickbait title. I don't know if these will really be unpopular. And, you know, I don't really love clickbait either, so I don't really want to claim that it's clickbaity. But unpopular is maybe the wrong term. Rather, it should be five fashion opinions that I have. Right. So it's kind of fun to just have these kind of conversations. I think moving forward too, if I'm going to be doing more solo episodes, then I think I want to have them kind of be thought experiments with YouTube video ideas. So this particular title and this particular idea comes from me brainstorming for YouTube. And if you know, I have a YouTube channel. Maybe you don't know. In fact, I've met people who only talk about the podcast, which is crazy. But I have a YouTube channel, and kind of what I do here on the podcast, I kind of extrapolate that and talk about the different things I care about as it relates to the fashion industry. Wait, are we still? Yeah, we're still going. Okay, good. I thought we weren't recording for a second. Sorry, guys. But yeah, so for the YouTube channel, I kind of talk about some of the same things, and I was brainstorming. I have a whole list of kind of ideas that I love to reference from when it comes to creating new YouTube videos. And a lot of times people will ask me, yo, Drew, how do you like come up with new ideas? And for me, on my phone, on my notes app, I have a literal note titled video ideas. And anytime I get a spark of inspiration from watching a TikTok, walking down the street, being at the gym, watching a basketball game, watching a movie, I'm like, oh, that would be a good idea to talk about this. I immediately take out my phone and just write down right what I'm watching or in consuming. I write down exactly what that is into the notes app on my phone. And yeah, it's definitely a good kind of practice to have if you're like a creative person, or if you just like you have ideas that come to you, but like they're here one moment and then gone the next. And it's important to hold on to those ideas if they mean something to you. So that's exactly what this idea came from. I was watching a TikTok, and you know, as a lot of TikToks sometimes can be, they're very fast paced and they try to grab your attention really quickly. And the TikTok I was watching was this kind of interview series in the street where people were asking people in Soho, like there's an interviewer asking fashion people in Soho, what's your unpopular fashion opinion? No shade or hate to anyone who makes videos like that either. It's content. It's entertaining. People obviously enjoy those kind of videos. But sometimes people will say, oh, I don't like Birkenstocks, or oh, I don't like this particular jacket, or I don't like this particular style of earring or pants or whatever, which is fine. But for me, the five unpopular fashion opinions that I'm going to cover are going to be a bit more, how do I say, less about specific items and more about just ideas in and around fashion. But before we do that, I have to say, and I'm just kind of rolling right now. It's fun. Talking ad lib is just like a good time. I have to say, shout out to Brandon King. He is someone who listens to the podcast. And last week when I was talking about pizza, I was talking about Prince Street Pizza being my favorite pizza. He texted me and he was like, bro, like it's not Chicago deep dish pizza. It's Sicilian. the thicker kind of chunkier square slices, or just chunkier square slices. In New York, they're Sicilian pizzas. They're Sicilian, my guy. So thank you for that, for reminding me of that. What else do I want to say before we get started? Maybe we can just give a bit of a rundown of kind of like how exciting of a time it is for fashion heading into spring. Spring is one of the best months when it comes to a display of outfits, a display of kind of your creativity with fashion. And a lot of times spring brings more colors. It brings a whole new life and energy, both in the real world and just conceptually, right? Like in the real world, you have flowers and trees and things blossoming, and you have bugs coming back and animals and birds and things like that, depending on where you live. If you live in the southern hemisphere and you're listening to this and you're heading into fall, it's also a good time of the year. I think fall is the best time of the year, but that's for another day. For us in the northern hemisphere, we're talking about spring. We're getting into spring, and I cannot wait to just be, you know, outside, right? We outside, just outside doing things, even though like you can be outside when it's colder too, but it's just a little bit more enjoyable when it's 60 degrees Fahrenheit. What is that, like 20 degrees Celsius, kind of in that range where it's just nice outside. There's a lot of people who struggle with seasonal depression and things like that. So I think for those who struggle with those kind of things, it's also a good time to just let life, you know what I mean? Let life, if you get what I'm saying. So yeah, there's that. Now, another topic kind of like I want to touch on real quick, when it comes to footwear, we're seeing a lot of like Adidas Sambas, Adidas Gazelles. I think another Adidas model that could possibly bubble up and just be a bit more popular in the next couple of months, I would say in the next 8 months, are the Adidas Superstars. I picked up a pair of black Adidas Superstars. If you guys know my girlfriend Lauren, she's had her Superstars for a long, long time, and she's been rocking them in trend, out of trend, doesn't matter. She's kind of the kind of person who she sticks with something when she likes it, right? Which is really beautiful. I think I just picked them up, and I've been wearing them with her, and it's been fun to kind of be a matching little couple kind of thing, whatever. And they look really good. I have a black pair of Superstars, so they look really, really good. And especially with like wide fitting trousers, like indigo, denim, looks really, really good. I like this Superstar look. Just one of my like little predictions I could sprinkle in there for the podcast only. Like, hey, maybe you should look at some Superstars. $100 USD retail. Sometimes you can get them cheaper. They have a lot of collaborations. There's a lot of history behind the Superstar. Maybe take a look at those if you're interested in a new item of footwear for the spring or the summer. Last thing I want to touch on, in my hand right now, I have a postcard from the wonderful, amazing Alexandria Massey. And if you are a fan of the pod, if you really know about this podcast, you remember the Alex Massey episode. She is a knitwear textile artist out of Canada, out of Windsor, Ontario, I believe. I think Ontario is the right province. Either way, she's an awesome creative. She is one of my favorite independent designer creatives, doing their thing, creating content about their art and putting their neck out there for the sake of the love of the game. And we have had a bit of a connection, right? Like she, it's funny. There's like a story where, you know, her current partner, boyfriend, whatever, Lauren and I had the opportunity to actually meet with him in Toronto before they started dating. And then we did the podcast. So it's like a crazy story of that matter. And yeah, how often do you receive a postcard from people? Never, right? And so this is maybe my first postcard. She wrote a really, really kind message talking about the spring. Her handwriting is like impeccable. It's all in cursive. And it made me think, like, if you have people in your life that you care about, or people that maybe you want to leave an impression on, or just to say whatever, like send them a postcard, send them a letter, write them a letter. How often do you get a letter in the mail? Never. Literally never. This is, this made me feel really, really special. And Alexandria, it's a it's great to have your friendship. It's great to know you and be inspired by you. And if you're listening, you're an awesome, awesome person. And I just wanted to share that with the audience too. Like, if you have people in your life that you can share these kind of moments with, share them, because it's special having something like that. All right, let's talk about 5 unpopular fashion opinions. I actually do think the first couple are a bit unpopular, but you have to let me elaborate and explain on them. Let's get into them. The first one of the 5 unpopular fashion opinions is fashion isn't for everyone, even in the era of inclusivity. Okay, so this is something that I think some people might listen to this and be like, yo, Drew, like, they're probably already a bit upset, a bit like turned off by what I just said, but stay with me here. At heart, I know what kind of person I am, and I don't want to upset anyone, but I think that this is something that fashion strives to be. Fashion strives to be an entity for everyone. But in reality, what happens is a lot of times, economics, body types, and practicality plays a huge role in whether or not someone from the south side of Chicago or someone from LA County can engage in fashion, right? And even beyond that, like, if you live in a small village in Ireland or in South Korea or in Vietnam or something like that, then fashion as an entity, as a fashion MF, as a kind of like fashion industry standpoint, I don't know if it's really as accessible as we would like to think of it as. And that's just like from a standpoint of like, are there actual communities that you can engage in? There probably is to some degree, but I still think like there will be people within certain communities around the world who will want to engage in a particular aspect of fashion, like maybe high-end, avant-garde, luxury fashion, but there is quite literally no opportunity for them because of location, because geography, there we go, because of geography, and a myriad of other reasons. And social media does try to kind of help allow for more people than ever before to engage in fashion. But I think for a lot of people, like, even if you engage on social media, when you watch me or you watch your favorite creator or you watch a celebrity talk about a upcoming collection or an item of clothing and it costs like $700 and like you're just looking at them and you're like, oh, this is really cool. How much does it cost? And you're like, okay, $700. There's no freaking way I can afford this or even engage in this. And as a result, maybe you go to the fast fashion route, or maybe you go thrifting, maybe there's a healthy outlet that you go to. But either way, like, engaging in the actual reference point, which might be the $700 item, is very difficult for the vast majority of people. And it kind of, like, as I've been thinking about it more, has led me to think that fashion, not necessarily for everyone, like, not everyone can even afford the $100 Adidas Superstar like that I mentioned. Some people maybe listen to that and they're like, yo, Drew, like, I can't even afford that. Like, I'm in high school, or my family needs me to work, or I have other obligations and I can't engage in fashion in that degree. But on the flip side, the other argument to that is that, well, even if you can't afford the $100 pair of shoes or the $50 jacket or whatever it may be, if you engage by, you know, your viewership or your interest or your accumulating knowledge, it doesn't mean you're not engaging in the same way. So there's a bit of nuance to it. Now, with body types, I think that while we have made huge strides to show that people with tons of different body types are, you know, welcome and are, it's a positive aspect, maybe like through modeling and showing different body types with different plus size clothing or smaller clothing or taller or longer clothing, I still think that overwhelming majority of clothing and models and sales in fashion come from this idea that you have to be a particular body type and you have to have a particular set of measurements to be a participant in a lot of brands, right? To buy a lot of clothes and be and have the clothes fit you nicely within the industry. So that's just my thing. And then I talked about the economics of it all. So that's my first unpopular opinion. Fashion isn't for everyone, especially in the era of inclusivity, as you would think it would be, but it's not. Next one is, looking good doesn't mean you need to spend a ton of money. That's the second unpopular opinion. Looking good doesn't mean you need to spend a ton of money. Like I said, inversely, on the flip side of fashion not being for everyone, if you do care about fashion and maybe you are watching a runway show or you're watching your favorite brand like ALD or something, or maybe New Balance or Nike, or come out with a product that costs way more than your budget, it doesn't mean that you can't engage in fashion, right? You can still look and feel really, really great with the clothes that you have without having to spend $1 million on your outfit, right? Or what seems to be $1 million. And I think Julian Carter on the podcast, I believe that's his last name. He does a really good job of showcasing this idea that you don't necessarily need to have, you don't need to buy the brand name thing. A lot of times if you really love fashion, if you are a creative individual, you can sew and make your own stuff with fabric that costs a tenth of the cost of what the finished product costs. Like for example, I love crossbody tote bags. And one of the crossbody tote bags that I've been a big fan of is a Ground Covers Suno bag. If you don't know, it's kind of like this. It's just a crossbody bag that's a bit wide and it's made out of a really beautiful textile that I can't remember right now, but it doesn't matter. People were making tutorials on how to make your own Suno bag as soon as that item became popular, because it's very simple from a sewing standpoint. You line fabric up, you cut it, and then you just sew it together and you have a bag and you can tie it in whatever way you want. So I think that's one way that you can kind of try to combat cost. I'm going to be quite honest. Like I for one have never gone this route because what do I want to say? I'm not the best at sewing, but that's kind of an excuse. You know what I mean? Like to say that you're not the best at sewing. You can get better. Anyone can get good at sewing. If I really wanted to put my effort into it, I could. But maybe the interest and the route that I've taken is less about that. But I still think that there are plenty of people who are inspirations. Glory Allen is another one who I think he's a creator who does a lot of sewing tutorials and whatnot. But regardless, that's one way for sure. Also, you know, everyone talks about it, thrifting and vintage shopping. It's not always the easiest thing, but some of the coolest things I have in my closet, like right now I'm wearing a crew neck that says The Evolution of Authority, and it's just like, it's kind of funny, quirky shirt that like points to the fact that like women are basically like the smartest. Just a little bit of like women power, women love a little bit on the shirt, which, you know, hopefully it doesn't, if you're against that, you know, I don't know what to say. But anyways, It's for the love of women, for the love of humanity. Okay, guys, I love humanity. It's not about like one person or group of people being dominant over the other, right? Okay, you get it. So some of the coolest pieces I've owned are vintage or thrifted items or older items. And you can sometimes find these items on eBay, Depop, Grailed, and your local Goodwills, Arcs, whatever thrift store you have in your region, for a pretty good price if you can stomach looking. And it just takes a little bit of patience, takes a little bit more work, but that's kind of the trade-off. If you could just go into the store and buy it for a dollar, I don't know, it's just not the way it works, right? Like you can go into the store and buy something for $50, but finding something that, like finding like three items in the thrift store or vintage store for 30 items is just like the trade-off of the capitalistic system we're currently living in terms of fashion. So don't let it discourage you for sure. If you have hopes to building a really nice wardrobe and you don't have a lot of money, you can definitely go about it in a ton of different ways that are more frugal. Number three, nothing is timeless. This is an idea that I've talked about a lot, or a little bit on YouTube. I was making videos, if you guys know, about trendiness versus timelessness. In a lot of those videos, people disagreed with me, people agreed. But either way, it was kind of just like conversation. Like, do I really truly believe that these items are vehemently trendy and the items that I said were timeless were vehemently timeless? No. In fact, I think where I stand is that in the grand kind of scope of history, nothing really stands the test of time. Nothing, really. If I think about garments made 100 years ago, okay, there's some resemblance to the garments made now. If I think about garments made 200 years ago, there's less resemblance, but okay, maybe there's some, like, still. If I think about garments made 1,000 years ago, it falls apart. I mean, it just, no one looks and dresses in that way. And I think 1,000 years from now, it'll be the same way. People will have to adapt, and taste levels will adapt to what currently is the most popular kind of way to dress in the future. And That's just my opinion. I don't really want to elaborate on it right now. That's maybe a video. That's a maybe another topic for another video. But I want to keep this, you know, flowing. So let's move on to number four. Number four, the way you dress yourself tells a small story about you. And I think this is really true. I think this is really obvious for most people. Like, whether you like it or not, whether you agree or disagree, people are going to make judgments based on the outfits that you wear. And hopefully they don't just judge you based on what you look like. Hopefully they judge you by the contents of your character. That's an MLK reference right there. But a lot of times people will, from first impressions, judge you based on what your appearance is and your clothing, your style, the way maybe a particular item of clothing kind of like sits on your body or where it lays on your legs or whatever it may be. They are looking. And I think it's important to recognize that and use it to your ability or use it to your influence when you can, right? I'm not saying like go around and try to like make people think you're some kind of savant or scientist or, you know, whatever it may be. But like, understand that I think the way you dress tells a bit of a story about you, right? And even if you can't control necessarily the arc of that story yet, once you become conscious of it, I think it's important to do your best to try to take hold and take responsibility of what story you are telling to the world and kind of how you present yourself in the world and navigate that in the best way you can. The last unpopular opinion I have is social media democratized the ability to create personal style. So if I said that the first unpopular opinion that fashion isn't for everyone, I think that there are tools, like I mentioned before, that fashion can be for everyone. And I think social media is one of those tools. In fact, I think like it's hard to put it into context how large social media is and how powerful it is in the context of human behavior and decision making. If you know anything about history, for the majority of the history of the world, the ability to communicate with other human beings around the world and kind of have this global community hasn't existed to the level it has in today's time. And whether it be being able to access small brands in the Netherlands, like going to, like when I was in the Netherlands and I found out about Brahms Fruit and I documented it and put it on social media so that thousands of people could also see it, or if it's just a small designer coming from a small part of France that bubbles up and becomes like Marine Serre or something of that nature and blossoming in an era where they can kind of blossom and have moments in tandem with other designers having moments. I just think social media is a powerful force for conversation, community, and outreach at a level that just is unparalleled. And when it comes to creating your style, there's so many touch points, which is like maybe a bad thing. The other side of the argument is that there's so many touch points that, hey, like how do I decide and rein in my own personal style when I'm constantly being inundated with ideas and styles from other people? That's another conversation for another day as well. I think that's a good argument, but I think that from an optimistic approach, from a positive outlook, the fact that we can engage and curate style just through the devices in our hands versus like if we live in even Colorado, if I go out in Colorado, I'm not going to be necessarily as inspired as I would as if I go on TikTok or if I go on Instagram, which for some might be like really sad. But I think there's a bit of reality in that. And also on the flip side, there are things that maybe if I were to look closer in Colorado, there would be inspiring things. Or maybe I see the inspiring things as a result of the fact that I'm so aware of my communities because I'm online so much. It's a give and take all the time. And so I think that I do think that there is some positives. Now, there's a whole thing with TikTok being banned and the power of communication and all these other things going on as well. But those are kind of my five unpopular opinions, quote unquote unpopular. Some of them may be unpopular. Some of them you may agree with. Some of them you may disagree with. I honestly love the conversation. I love when someone says, I agree, and this is why. I love when someone says, I disagree, and this is why. And that's what life and fashion and discourse is all about. It's about having the conversation. Now, if you're just going to spew hate or something like that, I don't like that. But if you have an actual concrete opinion that you want to stick by and it's in disagreement or concurrence with my opinion, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Well, I hope you enjoyed this week's episode of Hanging Out with Drew or whatever you're doing. If you're in the car or on a walk or working out or whatever you may be doing. Thank you so much for always, always sticking with the content. If you enjoyed it, if you're listening right now, give us a 5-star review. I appreciate you guys so, so much. You guys have no idea how much I appreciate you. And sometimes I get so caught up in I got to create. I want to like help. You know, I got to make sure that everyone in every platform is like taken care of. I want to create for the people who watch TikToks and the YouTube videos. And I got the podcast. And, you know, I want to make sure that I create every bit of content. Sometimes I forget to just take a step back and respond to the comments, say thank you, and just be appreciative of the people who have made this journey worthwhile. And a lot of people will say like, Drew, you've taught me so much, but in reality, you guys have taught me so much too. A lot of people have taught me so, so much, who are quote unquote in the audience. And I'm in the audience. I feel like I'm still the kid who looks up to a lot of creators. And hopefully I always keep that playful, honest demeanor about me. Anyways, no more stroking egos. I'll see you guys next week. And yeah, we'll talk soon. Bye.